guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena Justine, how are you this morning?
Morena Rachel, I'm well, thanks, and you?
Good, thank you. It's been a big week for the unions, particularly around campus. The Tertiary Education Union led a big strike across all the universities in Aotearoa over last week. What's your observations of that? Anything that you've sort of taken away from that as a sort of a positive or maybe not such a positive?
You know, it's pretty exciting to see all the tertiary workers at, you know, different tertiary institutions taking strike action at the same time. So that hasn't happened before in recent memory. We're calling the strikes, we're calling them 8 for 8 because it was across the country strike. So that was pretty cool in
yeah.
a sense. Like, you know, it was coordinated and all tertiary workers were standing together. But, you know, I think it's a long time coming.
Mm.
You know, conditions and wages have really been slipping. I think people think that tertiary workers are really well paid and sort of, you know, lost in their lofty ivory towers.
Yeah.
But the truth is, like, there's a lot of precarious, casual, very low-paid workers who are doing a lot of work. Often academics are working way over their contracted hours, and I just think something's got to give.
Yeah.
But it's really awesome to see... to see this kind of like just huge effort across the country to fix the conditions in our university. So it was awesome being there. Chloe Swarbrick came and spoke as well and said she was a not so proud graduate of the University of Auckland, which is similarly how I felt. and I just hope, I hope that they keep up and they don't give up because I don't know. Something's got to give and, it has to get better.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, big time solidarity with everybody involved with that. Let's get into these
absolutely.
Questions from the listeners. Our first one is about jury service. Someone wants to know if selected for the courts, they pay $31 per hour, I believe, for half a day. The rate does increase if it goes longer than a half day. Oh, no, hang on. Sorry, I think it might just be $31 for a half day. The rate does increase if it goes longer than a half day. My question, is my employer responsible to make up the loss in wages?
Yeah, I mean, you would think so, right? Because jury duty is a fundamental, like, civic duty. It's an important part of living in a society. So you would think that under the law, you would have to be paid your wages to do jury duty. But that's not the case. It's not, it differs from employer to employer. So the advice I give you is check your contract. Because the recommendation from the government is that there should be a clause about jury duty in employment contracts.
Mm.
Some employers will top up the wages, so it does go up. If it does go longer than half a day, I think it's you're paid a little bit more, but it's nowhere close to an actual, you know, your wage,
mm-hmm.
The minimum wage even. So some employers top it up, some don't. It's pretty ridiculous, to be honest, and it's the reason that most people try to get out of jury duty. Because they can't afford it. It's completely inequitable.
Yeah, totally. What else have we got here, Zoe?
Okay, this person says, I really want to unionise my workplace, but it's a lot of mahi and I'm already pretty burnt out. I'm finding it harder than I imagined to convince my colleagues to sign up. They're concerned it'll annoy our boss. Thoughts on how to convince them?
Yeah, I totally feel for you. And I guess, like, just my advice is take it slow. I mean, you know, I don't want to tell people to commit to a huge amount of mahi if they're burnt out. So firstly, just look after yourself. And in terms of finding it difficult to convince people, it can often be a slow game, slow kind of game. You know, you wait until an issue comes up where people are disgruntled or, you know, there's a need for a union. That's one thing people often do. I would ask if you have any, like, allies, basically, because you shouldn't be doing this alone. It is a lot for one person to kind of take on, eh? In terms of whether they're, you know, like, they're concerned it'll annoy your boss, you know, the great thing about unions is it doesn't matter because you've got power. So you kind of got to think about, you know, you meet people where they're at, eh? Like,
yeah.
Where are people at? And you can slowly kind of move them through conversations and, you know, pick your moments. And I think people see the need. Often people see the need for unions when there's an issue. unfortunately, when there's already a pre-existing issue, you can't help. But it is a good kind of learning for people, right? Where next time I might need a union there. That's often, one kind of motivating factor. But yeah, like, take it slow. Don't put pressure on yourself. Look after yourself if you're burnt out. Find allies. And think about like issues in the workplace. So what's I would write down a list of the biggest issues in the workplace and kind of focus on how the union can help with those issues there. That's what I would do. But yeah don't overwork yourself.
Nope, good to know. That's always got to be the first thing, eh? Look after yourself. Yeah. Someone's just texted in, found out that someone in my work is paid a lot more than me for relatively similar work. Only thing is, we formally have in our contracts that we can't discuss pay. How should I bring this up without potentially outing me and this person as having talked about it?
So just a word of advice to people who are signing job contracts right now. It's a really big red flag if you see that clause in your contract, because it's actually under the law, you are allowed to talk about your pay with your colleagues. So when an employer puts that in your contract, they're basically opting out of the law as it stands. So it's a really big red flag. Just by the by, just wanted to put that out there. It's tricky for you now, right? Because it's in your contract and you've signed that contract that you're not going to talk about pay. So what I would say is you need to find a way, think about the way you could have found out this information talking about it, or even say you were talking to a colleague at a similar workplace doing the same job as you, and that, I would not admit in any way that you talked to your colleague about pay just because that's in the contract.
How does that work, Justine, if the law says one thing but your contract says another? I know when it comes to tenancy law, for example, if the law says one thing and your contract says another, usually the law overrides it. What's the deal within employment law?
Yeah, so with basic minimum entitlements like wages, so you can't contract out of the minimum wage. So in some ways like Uber and making people contractors, you kind of can, but you can't. So there's some things you can't contract out of, like wages, sick leave, et cetera. But with this, it's sort of a glaring omission, to be honest, and employers take advantage of it. I think it's not seen as something fundamental. So it's, the law is can't discriminate, or there can be no action taken against people for talking about their pay. So I'm sure there's been court papers around this, but it seems to be a roundabout way of getting around the law. And possibly the law isn't written strongly enough. So that's something we can, the union movement needs to look at and lobby about. But it's not a minimum entitlement. So it is something that they essentially can put in a contract to get rid of their ability and kind of empower themselves to basically discriminate against people for talking about transparency. It's really shit.
Hey, thank you very much, Justine. Always wise advice. Good to chat with you this morning. Take care, and we'll talk to you in a fortnight.
You too. Cheers, Rich. Bye.
Yeah, take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.
Thanks, Justine.